Happy Sabbath, everyone. It's good to be here, back to back. So I'm glad to be here today. I want to say welcome to those who are here. I see new faces. Maybe because I'm not here that often, you guys are new to me, but I'm just happy to see new faces in this place. Also, I would like to say welcome to those who are watching online right now, and those who at some point we also going to watch this service. So welcome to those who are watching online. We need to praise God for technology. Amen? Amen. Well, come on, we need to praise God for technology. I challenge you, remember, for this year that we need to share God through social media, okay? I know that some of you have Facebook, Twitter, and different social media platforms, so let's use those to share, amen? Let's use. Now, it's not only about Facebook or Twitter. You can find a way to share, to teach and preach about God's love. That's my challenge for the church this year. So I want you to do this, because we need to share that Jesus is coming again, all right? We need to share that there is hope in Christ, and people need to know that, okay? So with that in mind, I want to speak on the subject, the promise keeper, the promise keeper. But let me just say that if you don't have me on Twitter, on Facebook, that's my account. Please follow me. I see some of you are, you know, keep the posting some of the things that I said, so that's a good thing. So the words that we're going to use in today is this. This is what we're going to share today. Facebook or Twitter, whatever you want to do it, just do this. Today we're going to share about this word. Share a promise. The promise keeper. God's promises never fail. Amen. And teach and preach. And of course, Sabbath in Troy. Amen. So if you want to post something today, and let me tell you, today is going to be very different. Our service today is going to be very, very different. Everybody here today will preach. I thought I would say, somebody say amen or something. Yes, yes. All of us are going to preach today, because today we have a chance to share something from the Bible. You know, this year is teach and preach. I believe that all of us, we can learn from each other. Okay? So at some point, when I tell you, I want you to get your Bible ready, get your iPad or your cell phone, whatever you have your Bible in it, and I want to ask you to share a promise with us this morning, okay? So I want you to go in the Bible, find a promise, and you're going to share that with us, okay? And then you need to tell me, why is that promise so important for you? Why is it so meaningful to you, okay? So today we're talking about the promise keeper. And today we have the chance, everybody here, to share a promise from the Bible. There's a lot of promises in the Bible, and I'm sure that we can find at least one that we like and we like to share. Okay? But before we get there, I want you to get your Bible. Before we get there, I know we have the mic somewhere here, and I'm going to ask the deacons, please, to come and help us to do this. Okay, I know that they didn't mention to you that earlier. I apologize for that. Deacons, if you will, you just can come and help me with the mic. When I tell you, you can pass this mic so people will able to read. Okay, thank you. I was doing some searching online, and I found this. Probably some of you have seen this before. And it says this, right there, it's in the screen. A promise means everything. But once it's broken, sorry means what?
Nothing.
A promise means everything, but once it's broken, sorry means nothing, all right? And let's be honest today. Most of people, almost everyone here has promised someone something in their lifetime. Many promises are given, and many promises are broken every day. We promise. When promises are kept, listen to this. When promises are kept and proved to be true, one is able to place more and more trust in that person. But when promises are broken, people get hurt and they don't trust you. A lifetime of broken promises hardens one person's heart. Promises do not seem to be much these days. Some of you remember that long ago, in the generation of our parents, the promise was everything. When somebody promised something, They will hold to that promise. And the way they seal that promise is do they shake their hands. I trust you. I'm going to do business. And I shake my hands. I will not let you down. I promise you. But now, if we want to do business, we need to call lawyers. We need to call people to be there and be witnesses and what we're going to do and sign and sign there, do this, and it's different now. Today is different for what used to be. But let's also remember that the promises of God are different from the promises of this world. People will break their promises to you. People will break their promises given to you. But you don't have to give up. You can trust in God. His promise is this: He will never leave you. He's always going to be with you. Probably you're asking yourself, but what is a promise? Well, if you go in the dictionary, you will find, maybe you just go on Google, you will find different definition. A promise is a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing, that somebody will do something. And so another definition, it says a declaration that something will or will not happen. So when you promise something, you're saying, well, I will do this or I won't do that. A promise is a commitment by someone to do or not to do something. Now, in the Bible, we have two kinds of promises, and I believe that I have shared this before with you. Here, we have two kinds of promises. Probably some of you don't remember. That's okay. I will say that again, that we have two kinds of promises in the Bible: conditional promises and unconditional promises. We have those two kinds of promises in the Bible. Unconditional promises is something that it doesn't matter what we do or what we believe or what we think about it, it will happen. Because unconditional promises belongs to God. God promised that He will never destroy this earth with water again. You guys remember that? That's an unconditional promise. No matter how we behave, no matter how we think or the things that we do, He will never destroy this earth with water. It's unconditional promises. That will never change. Another unconditional promise is that Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
He's coming back, brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It doesn't matter if you're ready or not. He is coming back.
Amen.
The Bible said that when the time is right, He will come back. That is unconditional promises. Now, conditional promises is different because it requires our participation. If you notice, there is some Bible text that says, if you do this, then God will do that. Are you guys with me today? Let me give you an example. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 2 of 7, verse 14, the Bible says, if my people pray and humble themselves, what they keep saying? Then I will what? I will hear, right? That's God is saying that. So unconditional promise require our job. God will do His part, but we got to do ours. Amen?
Amen.
We have to be clear about that. Now, in the Bible, we find a lot of promises. But I want to share with you some of the quotes from Ellen G. White, just talking about how wonderful is our God when it comes to promises. So today, we're going to learn about promises. Amen?
Amen.
I want you now to use the mic, and I want somebody to read this for me. Today's, I'm telling you, is very different. So we're going to interact. We're going to talk to each other. I mean, not at the same time, but we're going to talk. Somebody would like to read this, please, for me. This is from Ellen G. White. Very, very powerful statement here.
Anybody?
I want you to use the mic so that way the people who are watching online can hear you well. Go ahead, brother.
As we look at the promise of God, we find comfort, hope, and joy. For they speak to us the words of the infinite one. Properly to appreciate these precious promises, we should study them carefully, examine them in detail.
Thank you. Okay, let's stop there for a minute. Can you see the underlying part there? Yes, can you see that? What was supposed to do with these promises that we have in the Bible? Oh, come on, church. Are we here? I'm assuming that you guys can read that from there. I think it's quite big. What are we supposed to do with the promises? Study them. And what else? We need to appreciate them. It's wonderful to know that God is a promise-keeping God. All right? Let's keep going. Who would like to read the next paragraph, please?
I mean, I don't have a Bible open.
No, that's okay. It's right there in the screen. You can read it from there if you want. That's fine.
All right. How much joy we might bring into life, how much goodness into the character, if we would but make these promises our own. As we journey in the upward way, let us talk of the blessings strewn along the path.
Amen. Are you getting this? How much joy we might bring into our life, how much goodness.
As we think of the mission Christ is preparing for us, we forget the pity and lies which we might day by day. We seem to breathe the atmosphere of the heavenly country to which we are journeying. And we are soused and conformed.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I don't know if you get the last part, but think about this. This world is all about stress, all about issues and problems and sadness. But here's the thing. When you think about heaven, you're not there yet. When you think about heaven, when you think, where are we going? Remember, we are just spending some time here. This is not our place. This is not our final destination. Let's just say that we are waiting in the bus stop. Are you getting this? We're going home. So as you think about heaven, joy should come to your heart. Because we can see, we can almost taste it, that one day the sadness is gonna go away. Think about this: in heaven, there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sadness. Everything's gonna be perfect. Now we need to think about this, and while we're here on earth, we need to think about this. Now let's go to the next statement here from Ellen G. White. Please, anyone else who would like to read those, please. Pay attention. This is very, very powerful. Almost time for you to get your Bible and start sharing, you promise. Who would like to read this one, please? All right.
No temptation comes to us that Christ has not withstood, no trial that he has not borne. He knows each one of us by name. When a burden is placed on us, he stands by to lift the heaviest weight. He has given us precious promises to lighten every burden. He assures us that his grace is sufficient.
Today, I thought somebody would say amen to that.
Today we have his help. Tomorrow we may be placed in new circumstances of trial, but the promise stands fast. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Let us rejoice in the love of God. Let us praise him who has made us such royal promises. Let these promises keep our hearts in perfect peace. Let us honor God by weaving more of Jesus and heaven into our lives.
Amen. Oh, what a wonderful statement. I like that. The first paragraph is underlined down there. It says, when the burden is placed on us, he's speaking about who?
Jesus.
He stands by. Come on. He stands by to lift the heaviest weight. Wow. What a wonderful Savior do we have.
Yes.
You know, it says here, when a burden is placed on us, Jesus stands by. What a wonderful friend we have in Jesus. Wow. He will help you. He will help you. He will help me in the midst of my struggles. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now are we ready to share the promise? Now, let me just say this. Get your Bible. Please start looking. You promise in the Bible. And let me just say that there is 3,573 promises in the Bible.
Sir, the
Would you like to read something?
3,573 promises in the Bible. Now, if you would like to read them in 1 year, what you need to do is you need to read 300 of them every month. You will need to read 74 of them every week. And you will need to read, if you want to do it every day, you will need to read 11 promises a day. That way, you will probably have more than, there will be at least 28 promises that you would like to repeat. Okay? But that's the amount that you need to do for 1 year if you want to just go over to the promises of God in the Bible. Okay? Now is the time. I want you now to share with me, to share with your friends, what is your favorite Bible promise and why do you choose that one in a special way. Go ahead. There's one here. There's one in the back. Deacons. There's Barbara down here. We are so happy to see you. I'm happy to see you. I don't know if you've been here before, but I'm happy to see you. She's have one. She's going to start. Thank you.
Happy to see you.
All right.
John 3:16. For God so loved the world.
Yes.
Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen. 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 Okay. Do we have one more? Yes. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. My brother's going to read Isaiah 41:10.
Fear thou not, for I am with thee, but do not dismayed, for I am the God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will be thee, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Very good. We have people. I want you to get ready. Yes. Go, who else? Okay, go ahead, bro.
John 14.
Yes.
2 and 3. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen, amen. But hold on. Amen. I said that we are supposed to preach. So you need to tell me, what is the meaning of that to you? What was so important for you, that promise? Now, probably I don't know if you want to go back to those who already read theirs, but we're going to start with you, Sister Connie. Go ahead. Tell me, why is that so important for you?
This one is so important to me because he's coming back for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Not only me, but all those that believe.
Amen.
And he's going to give me a mansion. It may not be a big, beautiful mansion. It could be a room in the corner, but it's for me.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I will be with him.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Is anyone? Yes, go ahead.
1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To me, it's not just that God listens to me confess, but he's going to forgive. And not just to forgive, but to cleanse me, like literally cleanse me. And it's you when you're dealing with past sin, you can't move forward unless you know that God is a God who can forgive and cleanse you and allow you to move forward in righteousness.
Very good. And we have there a clear example of what is a conditional promises in the Bible. That text says, if you confess your sin, right? It's something that we must do, okay? God is willing to forgive our sins, right? But we need to do our part. We need to confess, right? So that is a very important promise in the Bible. It's a conditional promise, though, okay? Yes, go ahead.
This is another conditional one. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it's half of the verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts is loyal to him. In the King James Version, it says, whose hearts are perfect towards him. And this encourages me to get my heart right with God, knowing that he is searching the whole earth to just lay down his power on my behalf. I share this with my students who I know are believers, because when they're going through difficult times, they need a word from the Bible more than they need a word from me. And it lets them know that remember who your God is, and you're Amen. Not ever standing alone.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Anyone else? Yes. Is anyone else? Also, I want to see your hand so that way we recognize you. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I'm reading Romans 8:38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, right. which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen. Powerful.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that, please.
Just a little. I mean, I'm still trying to analyze all this, you know, because it just takes forever to me to analyze all this. But it just comforts my heart that no matter what happens, God is so connected, God is so connected to me that no matter what happens, that love is always there drawing me. And I can take comfort knowing that no matter what circumstances I'm facing, I can always go to God because Amen. Nothing can separate me from Him because His love is too strong.
Amen. Right. Amen. Thank you. Very good. Yes, Lisa?
One of mine is from Joshua 1, verse 9. It's, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And this promise is really personal for me because God knows that I tend to struggle with change and doing something different other than what I'm used to. And whenever I'm going through something or realize that God needs me to make a move or to change or to do something, He reminds me of this promise. He brings it to my mind and reaffirms to me that, you know, reminding me, saying, haven't I commanded you? Haven't I told you, you know, don't be afraid. Be strong and be of good courage. And don't be dismayed, because wherever you go, wherever I take you, I'm going to be with you. I'm there. I'm already there. And that is just very encouraging, because it reminds me that God will never take me somewhere that is not going to be for my benefit. And be good
Amen.
For me.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We have Elder. Yes.
In John, Matthew 6:33, it says that, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This promise is, we all need the blessings of the Lord. But sometimes we concentrate on the promise that to be the blessing is for us is to seek the kingdom of God. But the thing is, in this text, I saw in it that don't concentrate on the promise that if we serve the Lord, the blessing will come to us. But put on our life the priority that serving the Lord is our priority, the blessing will come.
Yes.
It's not because we are serving the reason why the Lord will bless us. It's true to us. It's true on our life that we serve the Lord, and we automatically the blessings comes on our life. We are not expecting for it, but the Lord is His promise is true that He read our mind, what we are. What is on our mind? Is it truly our concentration is just to receive the blessings or to serve Him?
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Right there. Yes.
And to add to that, we serve the Lord because for The important thing is because we love him and because we know that he has another promise for us in Jeremiah 29:11, and he says there, "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And this promise, this text, greatly, you know, put an impression on me because it gives me the confidence and the hope that, you know, whatever happens tomorrow or the next 2 days or, you know, the next, in the future, that God is always there. And he doesn't have anything, you know, he has good plans for us, and that gives me the confidence to, you know, to face tomorrow.
Very good. Thank you. I really like that one. And when you read the context of that one in particular, you will notice that the people of Israel that are in exile, they are not in Israel. They're not worship in their home. They're away in slave. So, and God says in the midst of that, he said, you know, I know the plans that I have for you. So it is wonderful to know that when things are not going great, yet God's still saying, I have plans for you. Praise God. Is anyone else who has another one? Yes, go ahead.
All right, so it's James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.
Amen.
So I really like this verse because it really signifies the importance of maintaining your personal relationship with God, no matter what you go through, no matter what's going on in your life, whether it's positive or negative.
Amen. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Do we have more? Yes, go ahead. We'd like to share.
I like Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. It kind of covers all the promises that have been made. It says, "Return to me, and I will return to you." Amen. There have been times when I have failed, and you'll have to answer each for yourselves. But I know I can go back to God. He's promised he'll always be there.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
This is from Esty. She's downstairs with Cy, her son. And she wanted to share this with the congregation. It says, "Cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved."
Praise God. Praise God.
I want to read the chapter of Acts chapter 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit arise upon you, and you will be a witness of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Saint Mary and to the most distant parts of earth.
Amen. Very good. Wonderful promise. The promise of the Holy Spirit. We have more? Yes? And since Sister Newsom, I believe I saw her hands in the back. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, mine is from Hebrews 13, verse 5. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." This is my my life testimony, because I like traveling, and when I like the job, even when I was in my country, I like working in other state or even work in other country, and now I'm in USA, and I was away from my family, but there's only one that I know will never leave me, and that was God. So yeah, when I feel weak and down, I always go look down with that verse, that God will never leave me nor forsake me.
Amen. Thank you.
One of my favorite promises is John chapter 14, verse 3. And he said, "I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also."
Amen.
Jesus is coming for a return too. He's coming back to earth and he's coming for a reunion with and a reception of his people. That's our promises. When we see the world is going the way it's going, but we can have this hope that Jesus is soon to come.
Amen. Amen. And so, okay. Okay. Go ahead, Florentine.
Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
We all tend to do everything by ourselves without thinking that there is actually God that wants to be with us all the time and help us. I mean, God is in us, right? The Holy Spirit lives in us. So, but if we ignore it and we try to do it by ourselves, we don't go too far.
That's right. Very good. Thank you. Yes, go ahead.
This is Corinthians number 6.
Ask God, partners, we beg you not to reject this marvelous message of God's great kindness. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, God is ready to help you right now. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. I like this verse because my mother always said, God may not come when you call him, but he's always on time.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Very good. We have more. Yes.
One promise is found in Psalms chapter 91, verse 11. It says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. So that verse is important to me because even though I fear something, I shouldn't, because God is always there and he'll always be with me. And even though times are tough, just think about the end and it's not going to last forever. Your troubles and your struggles are never going to last forever, but God will.
Very good. Amen. Thank you.
This is a promise that I go back to very often because I'm so looking forward to it. And it's First Thessalonians 4, starting with 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm so looking forward to the coming of the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. To that day.
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
Mine is in Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I like this this promise because I was in college before, and one of the pastors was read these verses, and it goes into my mind and also to my thoughts and everything. Like, the promise is like, call unto me, and everything will, you know, turns like, I'll show you great and mighty things.
Yes.
That's how it is.
Yes. Amen. Thank you. Go ahead.
The promise I'm going to read is Luke chapter 1, verse 37. But it leads me to a lot of the promises that have already been stated here. It says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Hmm. And this is very encouraging because you can pray and you can wait and you can fast and you can believe. But sometimes you got to hold on and know that he has a future for you, like the Jeremiah 29:11 says. And that with him, it's not going to be impossible. He may be working things out. The Lord answers prayers in a way that may be partitioned. Like you said, Israel was in captivity when that promise was given. Mm-hmm. But with him, it's nothing impossible. And he's the only one who can make up for lost time.
Yes,
he can answer a prayer in a way that will supersede what you have been longing for and what you've been working towards to a point where it will be better than what you even plan for yourself. So Amen. That's one of my prayers.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, we have one more? Yes?
Yes, I've got Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I like that the promise doesn't necessarily assure us that the things that we, that the requests that we make will be supplied, but rather that whatever our situation is, whether we, you know, when we make those requests, whether God chooses to give us the things we want or not, we'll have this peace that transcends understanding, that, that doesn't make sense, that whatever our context is, we'll remain at peace no matter how unpeaceful the world around us may be.
Hmm. Very good. Thank you. I want to take two more.
Isaiah 1:18 also say, come now and let us reason together, said the Lord.
Yes.
Do your sins be as scarlet, he'll make them as white as snow. And do they as crimson, they will be as wool. So that is, don't care what we do, we could go back to God and ask him forgiveness, and he will forgive us our sins.
Amen. Very good. Thank you. We have one more?
Well, actually, I have one. Revelations, when the Lord promises no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying.
Yeah, very good. I saw one hand. I want to leave that out. So this will be the last one. And then I'm just going to share with you.
Of you?
Share a short devotional thing.
Mine is actually in 2 Corinthians. It's verses 12, chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, and it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen. Praise God. Well, very good. I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your Bible promise. Now I would like to say that those who have your Twitter or Facebook account, do the same. Just share it with somebody there, and you see what happens. You will be surprised how many people probably will be encouraged just to see a promise there in your timeline. Okay. Now, it's wonderful to know that God is not just a promise giver, but a great promise keeper. Let's look in the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua, chapter 21, verse 45. Are we there? Not one word of the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Not one word of the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass. Praise the Lord. When you read this book of Joshua, it's powerful. You will see a lot of action there. You will see a lot of blood. You will see a lot of words. You will see a lot of things. But you also see a Savior, a promise keeper. It's important to know that Joshua was born in Egypt. It's important to know that Joshua, you guys remember, that was Moses' servant. He was Moses' minister. It's important to understand that Joshua was one of them, the 12, who went out to explore the promised land. You guys remember that? He was one of them who was there to see how the land looked. You guys remember that? He was one of the 12 who was there, and actually he was just two of the ones who came back with the good report. When you read the first chapter of Joshua, verse 1 through 9, you will see that God and Joshua are talking. I need to say that again, because maybe you didn't hear what I was saying. God and Joshua were what? Talking. They were having a conversation. That's why when God said, you know, be strong, don't be afraid, I'm going to be with you. Don't worry about your enemies. Don't worry about what's coming ahead. I'm going to be with you. Just keep going. Be strong. God is talking to Joshua. Now, there's great things that Joshua did. You guys remember that he was the one who went around the Jericho walls, right? He was the one who was the one who passed the Jordan River, right? He was the one who conquered six nations and 31 kings. We're speaking about Joshua. Now let's go to chapter 23, verse 14. Joshua once again keeps saying this. And now I am about to go the way of the earth. And you know in your hearts and souls. Listen to this. This is Joshua speaking. This is the last sermon. He's saying bye to the people. And he's saying, you know, all of you actually, all of you know in your hearts that no one word has failed of the good things that the Lord your God promised you concerning you. All have come to pass for you. No one of them has what? Failed. Let's remember that Joshua was old now. It was not the same Joshua who was probably around the 40s when when the book started. He was strong at the beginning. He was a very strong guy. But now he's old, and now he's thinking and sharing with the people he experienced with the Lord. And I'm so glad to find out in the book of Joshua how the book actually starts. It starts with God and Joshua talking. Now, if you want to have a good relationship with somebody, you need to spend time with that person. You're not there yet. If you want to have a strong relationship with somebody, you need to spend some time with that person. Amen? Well, remember that when somebody was trying to get your attention, what they did, they're always trying to spend time with you. Now, if we want to have a good relationship with God, strong relationship with Him, we must what? Spend some time with Him. Oh, come on, church. We need to spend time with God. Joshua and God spent time together. That's why he was able to do great things, because he put God first. Joshua was a wise general because God was his guide. Guys and Joshua were towards talking. But now he's old, and now he's thinking about all the things that he did, all the accomplishments. Everything is in his mind now. And now he's saying, you know in your heart, all of you know that God has been good to us. We have lost people. In the process, there's some things that we're going to lost. But that doesn't mean that God's still bad to us. He's still faithful. He's still good to us. In the process, there's some things that we're going to lose, that we need to let go. But God's still faithful. He's a promise keeper, God. He's old now, talking to his friend, talking to the people. We know in the heart that God has been good to us. We know that God has been good to us. But I love Joshua and the way he talked to God. Because God was telling me, you know, you're going to have some issues. You're going to have some problems. You're going to face a lot of enemies. But you know what? I'm going to be with you. And actually, God said, you know, the only thing that you need to do is just keep trusting in me and keep the word that I'm giving you. You guys remember that? Do not lose the law. Keep your Bible with you. Keep the words of God in your heart, in your mind. We are talking about that. Probably some of you know that most of our problems are because of sin. Most of our problems, no, I need to scratch that. All our problems are because of sins, are the results of sins. Actually, we don't get closer to God because we lack of faith. We are disobedient. That's why we are unable to see God near us. And some of the reasons why we can't see God working for us is because sometimes, or most of the time, we try to bring solutions to a spiritual problems with human solutions. It won't work. The lack of faith, the lack of love, the disobedience part aspect in our life, the only way it can be resolved is we put God first. Because these things are spiritual problems. And the only way that we're going to resolve them is if we have spiritual solutions. So that's what God is saying. Be strong. Don't be afraid. I am going to be with you. Listen this. The first sword that Joshua used was the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. What's the first thing that we do in the morning? What is the first thing that we do? I don't know. I don't need to tell me. You need to think about that. What do you do? What's the first thing that you do? How much time are you spending with God every day, all the time? I mean, we want the promises of God. We want God to come and help us and be near to us. And we know that's a fact. It's in the Bible. But we got to do our part. Sometimes we think that God will work just like one of those vendors machines that we put 25 cents or 35 cents and then all the blessings are going to come out. It doesn't work that way. You got to do our part. We got to do our part. The Bible says that if we confess our sin, God is faithful. We got to do our thing. We got to do our part. Just like Joshua did. He spent time with God. He talked to God. He put God first. The journey was long, but he put God first. Let's remember, brothers and sisters, the people will change. People will change. Weather changes. All kinds of changes take place in this world. But God never changes. So the God who said to Joshua, I am going to be with you, is the same God today. In fact, when you read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises are truth. We can trust in him. The one who has been with you this far will not leave you now. God is faithful. I said that God is faithful to his word. We can trust in him every day, all the time. We can trust in God. No one word of all the good things, of the good promises of the God of God ever failed. I'm so glad to know that he is a great promise keeper. Are you happy to know that? Are you glad to know that he will always keep his promises? He will always keep his promises. We can trust in him today, tomorrow, and forever. Today, we have a place to stand. It's in the Word of God. Today, you can stand in the promises of God. Today, if you would like, we can stand together in the promises of God. Let God do his thing. Let God do his great things in our life. You don't need to worry about anything else. In the Word of God, there's a place for you and I to stand. He is our greatest promise keeper. God bless you today.
Please turn to hymn number 653, and let's stand.
Lead them, my God, to thee, lead them to thee. these children dear of mine, thou gave us me. Oh, by thy love divine, lead them, my God, to thee. Lead them, my God, to thee. Lead them to thee. When earth looks bright and fair, festive and gay, let no delusive snare lure them astray. But from temptation's power, lead them, my God, to thee. Lead them, my God, to thee. Lead them to thee. E'en for such little ones Christ came a child, and in this world of sin lived undefiled. Oh, for his sake I pray, lead them, my God, to thee. Lead them, my God, to thee. Lead them to thee. Yea, though my faith be dim, I would believe that thou this precious gift wilt now receive. Oh, take their young hearts now, lead them, my God, to thee. Lead them, my God, to thee. Lead them to thee.
Father, we thank you so much, because we can learn to Joshua's experience that you are a trustworthy God. Help us, O Lord, to keep all the promises in our heart, because you are our greatest promise keeper. Help us, Lord, to move forward, to teach and preach with passion, because Jesus is coming again. God bless.